All right, here on the argument from the Maturation of Prophecy on page 6 of your notes, noting this verse in 2 Peter 1, 16. Second Peter 1:16. For we did not follow cleverly devised tales when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. First part. This has to do with the evangelization and the introduction to the plan of God to the believers to whom this the letters of 1 and 2 Peter were sent, and that they had been there on site and had built these believers and got them headed down the right direction. He says that we didn't follow some clever tales, but we were eyewitnesses of His Majesty. See, this adds support for it, that we were on the mountain with Him, which was a snapshot of the glory that will be His at His coming. That's the point what Peter is saying here. We got to see a glimpse, a snapshot, some minutes, however long it was involved, over that event in the life of Christ before His resurrection on this mountain, Mount Tabor. According to Scripture, there are three holy mountains. Sinai, because of what happened there. It's still a holy mountain. It's deserted, but it's a holy mountain. That's where the law was given. And of course, Mount Zion in Jerusalem. That's the most featured one. And then another one pops up, Mount Tabor, in Jesus' hometown of modern-day Nazareth. Just outside it is this mountain that you can ascend. So we were right up there where that happened. For when He received honor and glory from God the Father, such an utterance as this was made to Him by the majestic glory. Jesus is on the Mount of Transfiguration. And during this event, you can read this actual sequence in the Gospel where it's mentioned. An announcement was made from heaven. This is one of two announcements in His public ministry. One, at the outset, to certify to everybody that happened to be there on that day at John's baptism at the Jordan River, the only day that John and Jesus were face-to-face, they're cousins, by the way, that they were face-to-face, Jesus came to John's baptism to be baptized by Him. And after He was baptized, this announcement came out of heaven. The same one, essentially, that we have right here. This is giving the stamp of approval to His person as the qualified Redeemer, that all His years from birth to this event at the threshold of the beginning of His public ministry, when He would be presented to Israel, that he was fully qualified. And this one comes late in the game, towards the end, closer to the end. I don't have the precise time on this, but this announcement parallels the first one as reiteration that this is My beloved Son with whom I'm well pleased. I believe there was the additional add to it, listen to Him. Pay attention. I add that with people from time to time. And we ourselves heard this utterance made from heaven when we are with him on the holy mountain. So verse 19 follows. So what do we have? We have the prophetic word. That's all the prophecies related to, the first advent. They're fulfilled. Prophecy falling into three categories. Fulfilled, 100%. It's done. Prophecy in the process of being fulfilled. We're in the rapture generation and all that. And prophecies out ahead of us that haven't even started up yet. It will be fulfilled out in front of us. So we have the prophetic word made more sure, to which you do well to pay attention. You're doing your duty to pay attention. They needed to be taught about, the end times. They needed to be informed. So we have the prophetic word to which you do well to pay attention as to a lamp. Now, they had oil lamps back in Peter's day. Okay? These lamps shining in a dark place. That's the cosmos. It's dark out there. It's a realm of darkness. And until the day dawns. What day? Just like the sun, we might say, when is sunrise? The dawning of a new day. Until the day dawns. The dawning of a new day. The day here is the day of the Lord. And it has dawned. And the morning star arises in your hearts. This is another astronomical phenomenon. And that is explained in the notes, but it's this morning star will precede the full onset of the day when the sun comes up. Until the morning star arises in your hearts. Okay, so they're back before the first century, and on through the centuries, Christians are to be on the lookout for our development. And as noted previously in our notes, no Israel, no rapture. Israel as a nation, I mean. No Israeli nation, no rapture. We can't even begin to talk about it. And that's the morning star preceding the full brightness of day, the day of the Lord, trib and millennium and all that. That's the day of the Lord. In this case, where the word day is used for an extended period of time. We use that regularly in expressions with regard to situations and beyond just 24 hours. But know this, first of all, this means primarily, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own private interpretation. Just make up what you want to. For no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will. No true prophecy. Fake prophecies, false prophecies, all over the place. But no true, I'm going to go out and do a prophecy. That's corrupt, if not demonic, to make up stuff. So it's not a matter of some ego, somebody wants to make up something. Like the prophecies of Nostradamus. My candidate for the false prophet of the trib. He hated the Catholic Church and they hated him. He was a Jew. who made these prophecies. And he's in the news. You've got to look for it for a little bit. What he say was going to happen. Some of it's just vague, you know, and it, yeah, it's. But he's going to be, I think it'll be him. I know that it has to be, just as the Antichrist is somebody that is universally known, so the false prophet is going to be somebody that has a big name, a big name. And we know where he's buried. He'll head up the Antichrist cult, the enforcer. His description is found further in Revelation 13. Completely, totally possessed, satanic, evil, like the Antichrist. For no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will. No true prophecy. We have to add that. But men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. So all the prophets, and we have the two classes. We have the non-writing prophets. Elijah didn't write any scripture. And the writing prophets, those that wrote their prophecies down and were inspired. They are found in the prophetic literature of the Old Testament, where God gave them information. On some occasion, they couldn't put it all together. But that wasn't their job. Their job was to just make the prophecy, write it down, and let subsequent generations, as things came into figure it all out. Now, some things, obviously, they could understand. So, excuse me. Okay, I gave you that. All right, moving on. There is a special curse on reversionists until the rapture. Now, this is the killer. If anyone does not love the Lord, there's all kinds of people say they love the Lord. What's your proof? Words? In the Old Testament, it says, you praise me with your mouth, singing in the temple and in their with their liturgy and doing their thing and singing. You praise me with your mouth, but your hearts are far from me. There's this complete disconnect. And this disconnect exists among religious Christians who do not follow the teachings strictly of the Bible. How can they love the Lord? The formula for determining if someone loves the Lord is that they hear my words and do them and apply under all the circumstances that we can. So anyway, if anyone does not love the Lord, let him be accursed. That's pretty strong, isn't it? Maranatha. I occasionally have someone say, what's that mean? Okay. It's a prayer, and it's from the language, the Aramaic language. The language that is the alphabet, and much of it sounds the same as Hebrew, but there are some differences, significant enough that after Israel spent 70 years in captivity, they dropped their biblical Hebrew and picked up Aramaic. And so the language that Jesus and the disciples and everybody in his day spoke, I'm not talking about scholars, I'm talking about the average people in the street, was Aramaic. Aramaic at one time in antiquity was the lingua franca of the world. That's how they talked among diplomats and stuff. Just like later it became Latin. And now, English, lingua franca. This was the language, and this is a Aramaic term in Greek letters, and it means our Lord, Marana, our Lord, Tha, T-H-A, come. Our Lord, come. So it's like a one-word prayer. The Greek verbs of anticipation and texts document the fact that a mental state of keen anticipation of the Lord's return is spiritually healthy. Pros eukomai. Titus 2:13. Read the whole sentence. Paul, for the long sentences. If I read the whole sentence, I got to read from 11 through 14. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men, first advent, instructing us to deny ungodly and worldly, cosmic-driven desires, and to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in the present age. Looking for the blessed hope. There's a verb of anticipation. Looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Christ Jesus. Hey, here's a verse that says that Christ is deity, contrary to some that deny his deity, who gave himself for us to redeem us from every lawless deed, and to purify for himself a people for his own possession, zealous for good works. These things, Titus, speak and exhort and reprove with all authority. Let no one disregard you. That's one you hang on to. Don't let anybody, as a pastor or teacher, don't let anybody intimidate you. You got a job to do, you do it. They can have an attitude, or they can try to talk, or do whatever the hell they want. Then you just stand firm and God will back you up. So that's always the thing, you know, just sit there and listen to their, on those occasions. What are you going to do to me? Huh? My boss is in the third heaven. He backs me up. He likes authority. Try not to abuse it. But as a pastor teacher, you know, one deacon would always come in. What's going on? None of your damn business. It was an attitude. I could see it was an attitude. Well, he left. I don't stick my nose in your business. And don't stick it in mine. And you can't manipulate me and make me into the mold you want. Try as you may. You can pray for me. Okay, I got that off my chest. I already gave you all the verses on this one, so it won't do. Op ek dekomai. Eagerly wait for something. I can't wait. Boom, boom. This is coming. This is coming in the mail. it's going to be ready and it's mine. And I'm really cranked up about this. I don't expect you to run around on cloud nine, but you eagerly await it. But you look at things and how can, with the doctrine you all supposedly have and what's going on in the world out there. Whoa. Now, what are we getting to see on the stage of human history? We are seeing a mammoth upsurge in anti-Semitism coming out of the closet because it's already in their souls. It just had to have something to go with it. Like you're killing all those poor innocent people down there in Gaza. What started this? You killing people in Gaza? Or was it you, your terrorist organization, that holds the Gazan people in hostage was a Jew who came up there into those communities, those kibbutz. They got names for them on the northern border of Gaza up there. They're the names for them. And so, these brave Hamas soldiers, who do they attack? Civilians, families. There's a 47-minute video that was presented before the Jewish Knesset. That's like their Congress. Okay? They were all brought in there, and they were shown 47 minutes for those that could endure the 47 minutes. It's one thing to hear it, and it's another thing to see the evidence on the ground of what the Hamas terrorists did. I mean, people were leaving. People were crying. They butchered little children in front of their parents, and then they killed their parents. And they weren't done just killing people. They dismembered them. Like the Amalekites, you know, that I told you about, that were the first people to attack Israel once they became a nation at Sinai, and they came down on. The Amalekites were a bad bunch. They were nomadic. That means they moved around. That means that they didn't just kill their enemies. They liked to cut them to pieces, throw their parts up in the air, and celebrate. They were very vicious. And so God told Israel, whenever you see a Amalekite, you have my permission to kill him. Until they are exterminated from the face of the earth. Just like individuals get taken out because they don't deserve to live anymore. We got a bunch of them that have earned the sin unto death in our world. I see some of them and I think, when are you going to deal with him? He is so awful. And I know he'll get it. He won't make it through the trip. Short of salvation, I don't think he's going to turn around. So yeah, they had this film. They ought to send it to all of them. But you know, these people out here, now, they completely ignore that. It's okay if you butcher Jews. Does that sound familiar? And why would the devil's world want to kill all the Jews off? Because God has made promises to the Jews that he hasn't made to anyone else. That I'm going to give this real estate to you, Abraham, and your spiritual racial descendants forever. And so they're not occupiers. The Palestinians are occupiers. And now they're screaming from the rooftop. They're completely ignored this atrocity. There are some people resigning for their positions. I can't be a member of the UN any longer. Because if what the Hamas is isn't textbook terrorism, there isn't any. This is textbook. By all definitions, they made that this was a complete act of terrorism to target civilians living peacefully in their homes and killing everybody. They show the interior of these places. Now, if someone hasn't earned the right to be exterminated, then and they will be. God's going to back up his word, as he said to Abraham. Those who hate you, I will curse. And those who bless you, I will bless. So it's that simple formula. Oh yeah, there's a lot of bad Jews. A lot of them. I've known of them in my lifetime. And a Jew that's a criminal ought to be treated like any that's a German that's a criminal or whoever. Obviously. The Old Testament did that. It isn't a matter of racial superiority. It's a matter that God has put them in this position and the devil knows it and he wants to wipe them out. And now he's got all the nations stirred up. His nations are beginning to align. They're pulling their diplomats out of Israel and vice versa. Turkey. and that guy's first name starts with an E. He's ahead of it. Turkey became a member of NATO. Okay. And they're calling for none less than the destruction of the state of Israel. I don't know if he is exactly, but it's something like that. Their motto, from the river to the sea. That's our land, not Israel's. We'll see. You, obviously, stuck your finger, metaphorically speaking, in God's eye. They are the pupil of my eye. One of the most protected parts of your humanity, if not the most protected, is right up here. You get the least little thing in your eye, and ah! You can cut your arm right open, and it's not fun, but it ain't in the eye. I highly recommend, if you find something better, I mean, there'll be articles scattered all over the place. In fact, I've on the mainline stuff. Even people on CNN, that I usually don't even look at their junk. There's some people that are saying this anti-Semitism is way out of line. Where is this going to lead to? That we now hate a particular race and we're going to stamp them out? Imagine you're Jewish. You're in college, whatever it is. You got to watch your back. A race, a particular race. Jewish. And the Jews have skin color of all different categories. From white all the way over. Because they've intermarried and so forth and so on. No big deal there. It's just what's going on. Governments are aligning. And now, the more the Jews are pounding the hell out of Gaza. Oh, a hospital got hit. Well, I got a couple things to say. First thing I got to say is from the Old Testament. Maybe you've heard this. An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. What do you think that means? The Jews are dropping leaflets telling the Gazans to get the hell out of Gaza. Go to this area over here. We're not bombing there. And, of course, the Hamas are blocking the roads. And they hide their stuff in hospitals and schools. And I've told you this before. Where they put their headquarters in something. I show one picture. Top Hamas leader house blown all to hell. Good. The top dogs in this organization are in a 7-star hotel in London. We'll send the Mossad after them. This is when you're taking the gloves off. What would we do? Well, I don't know why the United States is so screwed up. But what would we do in the day if 3,000 of the same kind, missiles were sent across the Mexican border into towns in Texas and Nevada and so forth. What would we do? We'd come down on them so damn hard, and we wouldn't be worrying about if any kids got killed. Because the Hamas hide behind the civilians. They don't stand out here by themselves. They hide behind the civilians. They drive regular pickup trucks. They do this stuff. So, since when did we ever worry about collateral damage? When we bombed the hell out of those two Japanese cities? Who were in those cities? School kids. Old people. Sick people. Hospitals. Schools. There was no big Japanese military, bristling around there. The first atomic bombs, and the only atomic bombs, as far as I know, that have ever been dropped. We did it. What did the Allies do in Germany? Dresden. We firebombed it. It had no military significance, I've read. It was a terror act. Well, these people have done something. They deserve. The Gazans are cursed by association. How they ever let this cancer get into their system? I think it's probably because they were anti-Semitic to start with. The Gazans could walk into Israel, go to school, have a business, go back home, blah, blah, blah. Well, they're shutting that down now, too. Even in spite of the fact that occasionally, you know, I saw this woman. She's one of those Ivy League schools. She's a Palestinian, very articulate, telling how she was raised. She's a professor there, not a student, a professor. How she was raised. From day one, she was poisoned. And she exposes this stuff. She did an excellent job. That's why I recommend that. Well, I didn't get that on that one. This is all Israel news. Excuse me. I'll get one on my phone every day, and you can go flip through and read the articles. They might have a human interest story about how this family survived being attacked, how they put themselves in their bomb shelter and held the door shut for hours. The kids are crying, and the terrorists are out there. And how this particular, or how someone saved another person's life, threw themselves on a hand grenade. So you get that, but you also get the overall picture. See you next time. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity. May God, the Holy Spirit, enlighten us. In Christ's name, amen.